We'd like to welcome you to our board meeting tonight. We're a couple of minutes early, but we know many of you have other things happening tonight, and so we would like to start. I need to excuse a few people, Doug Beach and Paul Wagner, who will be recognized later, and some of his students will not be able to be here. We are hoping we have, it looks like we have at least two of our Sterling Scholars here, and I'm thrilled that you are here. I also need to excuse Suzanne Caressa from our district staff, and Christy Cooley will be late because of a child's medical care. So she will be joining us. If anyone has public comment that they would like to make, we have a sign-up sheet over here on the table, and we'll remind about that again, but we want to make sure anybody who wants to make that public comment that they are aware. We will begin our meeting by having Ellis Elementary School's principal, Sue Sorensen, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we do our roll call and Myra Ellis first, because we don't have Webster's there. We don't have Shane there.
Okay.
And we are...
Yeah.
We are going to, board members, if it's all right with you, we are going to change our agenda a little bit because we don't have all of our people from Logan High here yet. Therefore, I would like to request that we amend the agenda to start with number 3, Ellis Elementary and Wilson Elementary Employees of the Year. I believe everyone who's being recognized is here. Is that correct, Principal? All right, we will start with that. And we will start with Ellis Elementary. If we could have Sue Sorensen come up.
My goal is always to do this without crying, and I don't think I can because I start off with our Volunteer of the Year, and that's Theo Thompson. Theo, would you like to come up here, please? When you talk about the one and making a difference in this world by one person, that's Theo Thompson. Theo comes to our school every single day and spends hours helping our kids. I have to laugh because one day he came to me, he's like, he's working in second grade, and he's like, Sue, they're doing multiplication. I'm like, Theo, they're not supposed to do multiplication yet. He's making it more advanced than they are, which is so good. Let me see if I can read here what I have. Theo Thompson is our Volunteer of the Year. He has been volunteering just about every day for several years. He greets us in the office with a smile and a warm hello. He cares about the students here at Ellis. He is the grandpa many of these kids so desperately need. He is patient with the students and helps them to learn math. The students have made great progress with his help. He is kind, patient, motivating, and encouraging. He even makes his own worksheets for the kids. Saves on paper. Many times he shares success stories with the students and tells us, with just a little more work, I think this student will get it. Mr. Thompson not only helps students with math, but has helped Ellis in many other ways. He's an avid ham radio operator and noticed our radio wasn't charging. He got it all up and running and even gave me a lesson on how to use it. Here are some of the things the students say about him. He's a good, a nice, and a kind man. He's amazing. He is a good helper. He taught me hard multiplication facts. He is really nice and doesn't yell at us. He isn't picky. He looks at my pictures. He's a good teacher. Ellis Elementary is delighted to honor Theo Thompson as the Volunteer of the Year.
The Logan City Board of Education honors Theo Thompson as Ellis Elementary Volunteer of the Year 2014-2015. The board congratulates you for being recognized for your excellent service and thanks you for your dedication to the children of Logan City. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Will you introduce your family members who are here?
Well, I have my wife here.
And
I just invited you together because I didn't want to make a big deal of this.
You have your Ellis family here. Ellis family, will you all?
Well, yeah. They're I really worked to remember the kids' names.
Well, good. Thank you so much.
You.
And we have one more thing for you.
On behalf of the Logan City Board of Education, as well as the Logan City Foundation Board, we'd like to present you with this check and gift certificate. Thank you so much for what you do for our children at Ella. We appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I had the most fun of everybody.
Awesome. Thank
you.
Give us a little fist bump.
You
a little
down.
It's great. Our classified employee this year is Nancy Bowers. Nancy, would you come up, please? I think for as many years as I've been at Ellis, Nancy's been there with me. I think we probably started around that same. Oh, you've started, like, I don't know. Love her.
I'm older.
But much more energy, too. Nancy Bowers has been a part of Ellison Elementary for a long time. She has been an excellent classroom aide. She has worked in a variety of classroom settings, from special education and regular education to running a computer lab for our ESL students. She is efficient and does everything that has been asked of her. Nancy is very calming with all of our students. She is patient and kind and encourages the students with their reading and math until they've reached their full potential. The students adore her. Nancy always has a smile and a kind word to say to everyone. Here are some of the things the students said about her. Miss Nancy helps me a lot with math timing. She brings me lots of prizes and treats. She is my best friend. She is so sweet. She is nice and the best teacher. I like Miss Nancy. Classroom aides are pivotal to the success at Ellis Elementary. We are proud to honor Nancy Bowers as our Classified Employee of the Year. The Board of Education would also like to recognize Nancy Bowers as the Ellis Elementary Education Support Professional of the Year for 2014-2015. We appreciate the years of service that she has given to the children of not only Ellis, but of Logan City School District. Thank you so much, Nancy.
I have my adorable cute husband, Bob Wilkinson.
Bob.
Yes. They're your family.
Yes.
Ellis is a family. That is a wonderful family. Nancy, on behalf of the board as well as the foundation board, I'd like to present you with this check and gift certificate. And thank you so much for what
you
did for our children. Please shake hands with us.
Thanks, Nancy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And our teacher of the year, will Lorraine Harris please come up? With an overwhelming vote by the community council for our new little rookie at our school. We love her. Lorraine Anderson is Ellis Elementary Teacher of the Year. In the words of one of her students, she is the best second grade teacher. She helps me with math and writing and reading. She is so fun and nice and a good teacher. Lorraine spent most of her career teaching first grade at Hillcrest Elementary. It was our good fortune to have her come to Ellis to teach second grade. She is extremely positive and works hard to have her students succeed. Many of her students have reached their goals and beyond in their reading. She gives each student personal attention and praise. She makes them feel comfortable and welcomed. They all know that she loves them, and they work hard for her. Lorraine puts in many extra hours, and it shows in her lessons. Ms. Anderson is a team player at our school. She contributes to the success of her grade level by sharing ideas and working with common goals. Lorraine is a positive influence in the school. She's ready to participate and contribute in any way that she can, even if it means being on stage in a synchronized swimming performance. We are delighted to have Lorraine represent Ellis Elementary as our teacher of the year. Strange to recognize Lorraine from Ellis, but we are thrilled to recognize her as the Ellis Elementary second grade, no less, Teacher of the Year, and we just appreciate all of your years of service to our district, Lorraine.
You're wonderful.
Thank you. Will you introduce your family members?
My mom's here, and wonderful friends and colleagues from my former school, Hillcrest, and my wonderful new school, Ellis, that have made a difficult transition into two of the best years of my career. Thank you so much.
Aww.
because I go into your room. You have to just know her room is just awesome for kids. She has teddy bears and bears everywhere. She's got things up, bright, colorful. And the eyes of the children, I do a lot with the first graders, but boy, when I see my second graders in your classroom and they just are just lit up because of the class and what you do. So on behalf of the board and the foundation, this is a check and a certificate, your certificate. Thank you so much for what you
do.
Thank
you very much.
We need a hug.
Thank you.
What time did you guys get back in?
And Sue, you did really well this year. I'm proud of you. You know, she is without sobbing. So now we'll see how Wilson Elementary Sunday where Principal Sunday where does. So Wilson Elementary.
It is. Really terrible germ. I'm not even going to touch that. I'm just going to be loud, but I'll be right here. Can you hear me? We are really, really thrilled about the people who were nominated. We had so many nominations, so it's always hard to choose some of our favorite people in the building. But we're going to start with Volunteer of the Year. We'd like to announce Elizabeth Blanchard as our Volunteer of the Year. This year at Wilson, we've had a situation that the PTA president was there for 3 days, and then she moved. And so another lady stepped in, the co-president stepped in, and she became so violently ill that she'd been hospitalized for most of the year. And without anybody saying one word, Elizabeth took over the helm of the ship and just steered that PTA to do the amazing things that they always do for Wilson Elementary. When they left our community a couple of years ago, Wilson felt a huge loss. On the Blanchard's return, and within the last year, we definitely have noticed this positive impact. She's been at Wilson every single day, and she has children there, but she comes in a variety of capacities. She volunteers in her children's classroom, she volunteers for the PTA, and she participates in the extracurricular activities. During our clothing drive, the Blanchards, including their extended family, came and help the school for hours. Another thing we're noting is the way she tirelessly filled in during our PTA's president's illness. And honestly, it's been the most amazing situation because our cute little PTA president kept getting this mysterious illness and got worse and worse and worse. And Elizabeth would just hold up all the budget, all the meeting, all the traditions that go on. Elizabeth just stepped right in it as though nothing was anybody who knew what was happening cannot believe the work that Elizabeth did. Plus her children are there and just well behaved. She comes to every single activity. We love Elizabeth Blanchard.
I appreciate this award given, and my husband is here with me. He is very supportive of everything I do. Thank you.
You could tell by the emotion that was expressed in what I saw on your faces, both with these awards and with the past ones. We have some marvelous, marvelous people, and we're so appreciative of them. We are so thankful for our volunteers as well as our employees. The Logan City Board of Education honors Elizabeth Blanchard as Wilson Elementary Volunteer of the Year 2014-2015. We thank you for your service. We thank you for the impact that you have had on Wilson Elementary this year and for many years. Thank you so much.
On behalf of the Board and the Foundation, thank you so much for all that you do for the children of Wilson.
Okay, now I might cry.
Thank you so much.
We're so glad you came back.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
my next person, the classified person of the year, Stacy Rye, dance on up here, Stacy. I know. Well, her boy just got home from the mission today, and I'm like, did he really? Anyway, so I'm going to make this a snappy. But let me just tell you that if you have ever seen a whirlwind come in your building and pick it up and help people dance to, I would say what?
Anything.
The rainforest or the pine or
the desert.
And the weather. You will not believe it. We have, Stacy's been in our building, and no matter what, kids will join her. There's one child who's just like, no, I will never dance. This is stupid. I hate it all. We're just like, really? Well, okay, go sit there and run the music then. And finally, he just decided, one day I'm walking with him to a class, and the weather had been rain, sun, cloud, rain, sun, cloud, and he goes, well, that's the weather right there. That's the weather cycle right there. Because of all the dance he had learned from Stacy. And there is not a child in our building that has not warmed up to the idea that every piece of movement really makes a difference for their day. She is new to our school this year, but her energy and enthusiasm has been contagious. She's always happy and willing to do anything to help others. She's brought a lot of excitement and joy to both students and teachers through her movement class. Students love her and look forward to the time they spend with her. She works well with others and takes our curriculum and teaches students movements to music that go along with our core. Stacy is at the school all the time dancing with the students. She makes learning fun and plays with the kids at recess. She has a fun, outgoing personality and has fun with the kids. The kids love her, the staff loves her, the parents love her. She brings so much joy to Wilson. So we have just loved her.
And the Board of Education recognizes Stacy Rice as the Wilson Elementary Education Support Professional for this school year. We watched her dance with the students one day, and it was pretty amazing. Thank you so much, Stacy, for what you are doing. Will you introduce your family member?
I believe you have my husband's here with me, that's Kevin Rice, and then, of course, I've got my Wilson family there. And here.
And she also has Hillcrest family as well, because she also teaches up at Hillcrest and does that. She has done a great job, and thank you so much for what you're doing for the kids. It is an amazing thing. It's a joy to be able to watch you and what you do with your children. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's like hot high school, too. Thank you.
And Andrea Lindstrom, now this probably will just scare me up. If you've been in your class, it's like watching Michelangelo hit the ceiling. Really, the gifts Andrea has with teaching and with collaborating and being in our school is truly matchless. We just are so proud to have her. Andrea's one of the most amazing teachers I've seen. She is so passionate about her work and what she does that kids can't help but to get excited about learning. She loves every child and doesn't give up on anyone. She is kind and helpful and is a good team member, helping each person on the team be successful. She works hard, is willing to do whatever needs to be done, and inspires those around her. She's a true leader. Andrea's been teaching for years. She's experienced and has a love for teaching that can't be matched. She takes special care with those children who need extra help and special attention. She makes sure to address the wide variety of needs that her students have. She works great as a team with the other first grade team teachers. She's amazing. Andrea Lindstrom is a great teacher and has had a significant impact on my son. She has taught him that things that are hard are worth doing. She cares deeply about all of her students and wants each one to succeed. She is very well-rounded in her teaching. She loves her students, and they know it. She keeps learning fun and stays positive in hard situations. And I couldn't be more proud to recommend Andrea Lindstrom as Teacher of the Year. She takes good care of us.
It's really fun tonight to have two of our teachers who have been around as long as I have, and have had such an impact, and it's just really exciting to honor Andrea Lindstrom as Wilson Elementary Teacher of the Year for 2014-2015. Thank you for all the students through all the years you have impacted. Thank you. And then if you will introduce your family, I saw you bring have some special people come.
My son and my mom and my dad.
This has been a special night for me because Lorraine was his first grade teacher, and I got to be in her classroom for 7 years. I've missed the last two, but I've been able to be in your classroom for the last 9 years. And it's a joy, an absolute joy to every time. When she brings down a child, she usually has one in tow in her hand who's just kind of looking around, but just the love that she shows each and every month for her kids. They love her, they look at her, and her classroom is alive. And thank you for letting me come into your classroom and be part of your life in that. And this is a check as well as a gift certificate from the board and the foundation. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. We will now recognize Logan High students. The first item we have on our agenda is our wrestling team. Do you see any wrestlers here? I do not either.
I'm so happy to be here tonight. I'm bummed our wrestlers aren't here. But we have some amazing kids that went to state in wrestling. Ranger Keckler got third place. Logan Harrison placed third as well. Matt Mott got fourth place, and Andy Thompson as well got fourth place. And we have really appreciated Coach Roundy for all of his hard work. He's an amazing man. And I'm sorry they couldn't be here tonight, but I will catch up with him tomorrow. So.
Thank you, sir. We know we have a debate tournament tonight. We also have, I know, a track meet and a few other things going on. So. If you will, we are recognizing our Sterling Scholars tonight as well.
And these kids are amazing. I'm proud of you guys that are here. You guys have done an awesome job. Tom, come on up. Thomas. Thomas was a state Sterling Scholar semifinalist in English.
Congratulations.
Hayden Hubbard. Hayden here. Hayden was the state Sterling Scholar in instrumental music. Liana, come on up. Liana Moudreau was a state Sterling Scholar finalist in world languages.
Wow.
Emma Crumbly, she was a state Sterling Scholar finalist in speech, drama, and forensics. Caitlin Ong was a state Sterling Scholar finalist in visual arts. Chloe is not here. Chloe Harville was a state Sterling Scholar finalist in skilled and technical services. Taylee Craner was a state Sterling Scholar finalist in family and consumer sciences. Callan Smith was a state Sterling Scholar semifinalist in social science. Alex Smitten is a state Sterling Scholar semifinalist in computer technology. Elizabeth Merriam is a state Sterling Scholar in vocal performance. Madeline McCray, state Sterling Scholar semifinalist in dance. Lauren Burkmeyer, state Sterling Scholar semifinalist in math. And Paul Wagner is not here. I'm so excited to say that in front of people because it would have really got him going. Anyway, he's our advisor, and he's an amazing, amazing guy, and I love working with Paul. So, anyway, thanks for coming tonight, you guys. I'm proud of you.
So, were you the top person?
No.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That's so amazing. That our students got into the finals and semifinals is really amazing.
Congratulations.
That's about what I think.
These students are also very involved in many, many other activities, and we just appreciate you two being able to come tonight. Thank you so much. Have we had anyone sign up for public comment? We have not. We have one other recognition, and that is for our superintendent, Marshall Garrett, as the state superintendent of the year, and he's not happy we're doing this. We're going to start with a video about our superintendent.
Does he just want his check and run?
He doesn't get a check from us.
We'll give you a super.
It worked before. We know it can.
Hello, my name is Marshall Garrett, and I am the superintendent of the Logan City School District in Logan, Utah. It was an honor for me to have been named Utah Superintendent of the Year. I have been an educator for 36 years and have been the superintendent in Logan for 8.5 years. Logan is a small district with 6,000 students in a university town that surprisingly has a high rate of poverty and high number of English language learners. All six of my elementary schools are Title I schools, with four being over 70% poverty. Our ELL population is reaching 1,500 students. It has been a privilege to work with a high quality of teachers, support personnel, administrators, parents, board and community members here in Logan. Miracles occur every day in our classrooms as our staff works with students to reach the highest level of literacy and numeracy skills, as well as other academic and behavioral skills that allow students to be successful in their future. Protecting and enhancing professional development time, allowing for work as professional learning communities, promoting strong, consistent, research-based instructional skills K-12, and providing staff with up-to-date technology and supplies have been my focus in the district. Financial challenges of the past 5 years have made it difficult to stay on track, but with cautious and strategic financial planning, we have successfully maintained most of the programs initiated prior to the crisis. A successful local voted levy election this past year has brought in an additional $1.3 million per year to keep class sizes lower, emphasize STEM activities, solidify funding for the arts, and adding funds for the accelerated learners. In addition, a $55 million bond to upgrade our buildings to the needs of the 21st century was passed last year, a statement of the trust from our public that the district is on the right track. I am proud to call myself a public educator and humbled by this recognition.
Christy was at the national convention for this, and so, Christy, would you like to comment? Would you come up and comment on what happened at this event? And then we want to share his awards. He didn't want to do this. We made him.
It was a great honor for Stacy and Jeff and I to venture to San Diego to be with Marshall as he was awarded this amazing award. And what's wonderful is he was elected by his colleagues. It wasn't a school board member elected award. It was something that his colleagues recognized and appreciated in Marshall. And I've seen Marshall in many capacities as the 8 years I've been on the board. And he interacts so well with the legislators, his fellow superintendents, with everyone around the state. When you're with Marshall, he's just like a big teddy bear walking around with you. And it was great. And I felt bad that he didn't win, because he really should have won the National Superintendent of the Year, in my opinion. And I feel like if we had about, 20 more thousand students, you might have. Because usually those superintendents that win are from ginormous school districts. So I feel like we even had a chance of winning with our small school district. But what he makes up for in our small numbers is his amazing capacity to love our district, and it's evident in this award. And it was an honor to be with you, Marshall. And you represented us very well. Stacy and Jeff, do you have anything to say about it, our experience? Well, it's fun.
And we have these awards, but we'd also, as a board, like to recognize Superintendent Marshall Garrett as the 2015 Utah Superintendent of the Year. The superintendent who nominated Marshall told me that he believes that Marshall is the finest superintendent in the state. And they've been colleagues for years and have worked, and he's followed Marshall's career. And he's who nominated Marshall because of his outstanding service. And we as a board, the next few months are going to be hard for us, but we felt we wanted to do this before we got emotional. So we want to recognize Marshall Garrett as the Utah Superintendent of the Year for 2015.
We're trying to keep this a short meeting, so I will be short. It has been a pleasure and an honor to be able to be in this district for the last 9 years. So many memories, great memories, and great opportunities of working with such great educators and families and community members. This is a unique city and a wonderful city, and one that truly wants to do what's best for their kids. And it has been an honor to work with this board. This community is very fortunate to have this board. They truly want to make a difference in the lives of every child and are involved. You know, we'll never know the untold hours that they work on your behalf. And as we transition over the next few months, it'll be a little crazy, but I'm glad that I've been here for the last 9 years and will look back fondly on all the time that I've been here. And thank you, staff, for all that you've given. This really is your award, not my award. It just so happens that I was the one who was nominated. But this staff and this community really allowed me to be able to have this recognition, and so I thank you so very much.
And show them your medal, your hardware, your Olympic medal.
They had you wear this across the state, all 50 chief members, as they came through. So it was kind of fun. It had to be choreographed. It's amazing trying to get 50 people to do exactly what they want, you know, really don't want to do, but you're being told to do.
So did you get a crown?
Didn't get a crown.
I should have.
The gentleman from Georgia almost did. But he was the winner. He was the superintendent from Georgia.
Oh. Thank you, Marshall. That's beautiful. Thank you for allowing us to recognize you tonight. I also want to recognize that Tara Warner, our state school board representative, just joined our school board meeting, and we're glad to have you here, Tara. We appreciate all of your work. We now will have our reports from our Parent-Teacher Association. We have our Council PTA President, Becca Crookston, with us.
So since we met last, I don't have a ton to report about specific PTA events, but we are carrying the umbrella of PTA is hosting the Odyssey of the Mind at Woodruff.
Okay.
There is two teams at Mount Logan that we're kind of shepherding in with us, even though it's not their PTA that's helping. So I can report about all six teams. We have six teams of children going to the Odyssey of the Mind state tournament on Saturday. So it's in Park City, and most of them are ready. As ready as they'll get. One of the teams is still working a whole lot, and they better get more ready before that. But so they're excited. It's a lot of work, and the kids have done amazing things. But they have specific problems that they're given. It's called a problem 1 through 5. They have different numbers. And so they each get a problem that they have to solve. So it will tell them that they have to make a train, and it has to make certain stops, and it has to do something at each thing, and then they have to somehow motorize or make their train move. And in addition to that, they make a skit. Then they write their skit, and they direct their skit, and they make all of their costumes and their props and their scenery, and anything that they want to go with it, they have to do as the team. So the coaches are there to make sure that they're safe, but the kids are actually doing the work. And so we've got a lot of hard hours put in from coaches and volunteers too, but mostly from kids that are prepared for this since the beginning of the school year. So they're excited for this opportunity to go represent our valley.
Please keep us informed as what happens. We're excited. Thanks. Hopefully we'll be able to recognize all of the teams next month.
And send some to nationals.
Yes, It would be great to have a national representative again, yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate all that you and other PTA members do. We'll have our Logan Education Support Professionals, and we have Margaret Downs here. Appreciate Margaret being so good at being here every month. That means a lot to us to have you here.
Thank you. I try to put this on my agenda every month to make sure I'm here. So I'd like to say that we appreciate Marshall. I've worked for a couple of years with him, and so appreciate your example and your willingness to work with us as support professionals in our jobs, and we certainly do appreciate you. And we're gonna miss you, but we're excited to have Frank come. And in fact, I attended a USEA conference in American Fork on Saturday, and one of the fellows that was there said, "Oh, you guys in Logan, how did you dare get Frank?" They were sad to lose him down there, but we're glad to have him come, and it'll be great to work with him again. I would just want a couple of things. I appreciate the transparency of the district office whenever any of us have any questions. We can email any of the staff or people here, and they answer us right back and give us information that our members or other support professionals need. They usually come to me with a question, and I'm able to email Adam or Suzanne or whatever and get an answer back very quickly. So we appreciate that transparency at the district office. And we're just continuing with the IBB process. We're excited to continue with that. The USEA conference that we attended gave us a lot of information on how to get more members.
Great.
And so that will be our focus in the next year, hopefully to get some more members of our group that can enjoy some of the benefits that the national NEA has, and hopefully help some more of our professionals feel like they're included and that they're necessary to this district. So thank you.
Thank you.
Margaret, how do the classified employees feel about everything that turned out in the legislature? Did or didn't turn out?
We did get a report at our meeting about a lot of the things that took place, and a lot of it was positive, but a lot of it was like, oh my goodness, again, or whatever. I haven't talked to many of my colleagues here in the district yet about that, but some of the things that transpired were good and some were not so good. So it's too bad that we...
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to change. Until we have a change of legislature, I guess, things won't turn around for education. But anyway, we do the best we can with what we have. So,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
all right. I don't believe we have a representative here from the Logan Education Association. And seeing none, and Doug Beach has asked to be excused tonight. Right, we will move on. I want you to know we're an hour ahead, folks. We have our consent calendar. I want to explain one thing on personnel. What was submitted in Board Book showed all of the hiring since the beginning of 2014. So it is on page 87 when you will notice the 324. So that is what we are approving tonight on the consent calendar. So it's action on minutes dated February 24th, March 6th, March 10th, 2015, expenditures and receipts, personnel, and extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel.
I move the consent calendar.
Okay, Connie has moved acceptance of the consent calendar. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor of accepting the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. We will move on to action items. Our first action item is the third reading of the student drug and alcohol policy.
Starting on page 91.
And it is draft 8 is what we're talking about. We've been through a number of drafts on this policy. Marshall.
Just in terms of some of the highlights, there's still a few things. trying to get this down to a focused area so we can get a policy. We've had some questions as to who should it cover, how should it cover. It's very clear in the state, those that are Utah High School Activities Association activities, it's very easy to follow a process and procedure. Other districts have gone deeper into different areas. What we are proposing is that we look at this policy for students who are covered by UHSAA, who are in student government, who are in cheerleading, and if they're in a club that has a sports activity, which would include a lacrosse club, which is what we have currently. And that is one of the focuses that we have on draft date. The other is that we have put in, when we start adding things above and beyond Utah High School Activities Association processing, the funding for the process comes into potential question. We want to give us the ability as a board, I want to give the board the ability to impose an activity fee if necessary for this to be put into place. We are still at a point of determining whether or not that's the best route to go as a district, whether we should have the funding available where we're doing it for all or whether we are going to impose a fee eventually for this, just so we can get it started. And mainly that's for the non-UHSAA activities, because we want to make sure that there's parity within all of the processes, and some of the ones that we're proposing to include do not have an activity fee assessed currently. And that those notification of those fees will be outlined on the yearly basis as we do the fees. We are putting in the procedure process that there's an encouragement by parents. We can't require it, but if a child has an ongoing medical condition where they are on medication, we are encouraging the parents to let the coaches know, let us know, so that if their child is randomly tested, we would be able to know from the test whether or not there's any problem, because the way that the tests go, they are broken into six or seven different areas. And so most medication that is prescribed will be very easy to identify within that spectrum. We have also combined the offenses, so that the offenses work for all activities. That's section 5.9. We have deleted 5.10 completely out. So everything is combined within that area. We have added, and we had talked about this, a fourth offense, which would cause a 365-day or a full year's absence. You'll notice on this section we also look that if it's towards the end of a season, that it affects if they're going into another season that is going to be starting, it affects that, or it will affect them the next year in that particular activity, so that they will have the full consequence of their actions, depending if it's a first, second, third, or fourth offense.
Are there any comments? I noticed right under definitions, 3.1B, we still have in there that Weber. Weber thing. We need to strike that. I thought we had it out, but when it showed up in Board Book, that was there. The copy I had didn't have it, so we need to take that line out. Does anyone else have anything else that they would, any changes? There's just a blue one that should have been
right
deleted that somehow
point
didn't
B.
get it in this. In the copy I have, it's not in there, but what we had in Board Book, it is. So just that would be taken out, that blue line that was just showing us what another drug policy had. Anything else that anyone sees or would like to request? Lisa?
I just need a clarification. So under 5.9.A.1.1, point B. It just says if a student has violated his or his group's disclosure or constitution, consequences will be enforced according to that document. To me, I'm just a little confused on, you know, you've got the UHSAA stuff, but then you state that.
That is because if it is in, if there's a, for example, the student body officers have a.
Right, but the way it's stated, it just sounds like that could override what UHSAA.
But they don't have a constitution.
Right. Or
yeah, but I'm just the way it's stated here is a little confusing. I know what you're trying to do with it, but it just looks to me like it's override.
Do you want us to do non-competitive?
Well, you just need to put something in there that says for those who are not covered under UHAA, their constitution will apply. Because it's just a little bit confusing. I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering if we need to do, yeah, I think we could perhaps even change the numbering a little bit and do specifically for that. And so, yeah, we need.
It just
if we
to be
put
clarified.
For non-UHSAA.
For not, yeah.
If what their the intention of that is that for the club and for cheerleaders and for that there are specific disclosure, and in that disclosure it will say
right. It just needs to be a little clearer. I know what it was intended for. It just needs to be a little clearer in this exactly that applies to. Because it looked to me like, well, somebody else could have a constitution, and then it could overrule what UHSAA said, which isn't true. But
not, we can just put in non-UHS.
Okay, we'll put for non-UHS.
If a student
has violated, so we'll make that. I'll make that change right now. Okay, non.
Any other
changes or comments?
Well, the comment I had was. Since we've defined, once again, I haven't been in full conversation about this, but once we've defined that it's going to include UHSAA cheerleaders and student body officers, do we need to change the purpose under number one, who just says for all students in grades 9 through 12 who participate in extracurricular activities?
Those are considered extracurricular activities.
I know.
Well, but being more
I'm
specific,
asking if it needs to be more defined because at the beginning we didn't know who it was going to entail,
so
but now we know
who it
defines.
That into UHSAA cheerleading, and write that through it.
Right, because it's
cheerleading, student government, and
okay.
And then the other
clubs.
One I had was on 5. Let me see if I can find it. 5.9.
I thought that was there. Somehow this did not.
Just a second. It's so confusing getting these
figured
out.
What was it about?
If a student tests positive at the end of the season, the suspension will take place at the beginning of the next extracurricular activity season. So if they're suspended for, this is 5.9.B.4. So that it means if they test positive, say they're playing football, then their suspension doesn't start until the beginning of basketball season?
Okay. If they are in another, if the next season they are in something, they will be taken out of that activity for that amount of time. Or if they're not involved in it until the next year, if they do football, and that's all they do is football, then the consequence will still be with them as they start the next season.
Okay, so, but what we're saying is that if you have someone that's playing football and they're playing basketball,
it will
you're
affect
saying
basketball.
You're saying it doesn't start until the beginning of basketball season.
No, you have to start at the 1 and then 2 and then 3. Should they occur during any activity season, they'll be suspended for 18 weeks at that third offense. In order to participate in another activity, they must do the assessment and the drug treatment. But if that happens right at the end of a season, we're not going to say, oh, you get a bye because it was.
They will have to finish the consequence before they would start in anything else.
Yes, I understand that. But when I read that, it says to me that if you're a football player, okay, and you test positive for drugs as in football season, okay, that end of football season, you test positive the day of the state championship playoff games, okay? To me, when I read that, it says that your suspension is not going to start until the beginning of basketball season.
I think it needs to say something about carrying over, not
well,
starting.
But it is.
I think the thing is I think the word is the.
It's just the word.
It's the word beginning of the next extracurricular. Because to me, it says that there's a lapse between when the football, when they're tested positive for drugs at the end of football and when it starts at the next extracurricular season. There's like a lapse.
There's nothing that they're not doing anything within that time frame. I mean, that if you look at our seasons, there's not, when one season ends, another season's beginning. If they're going into basketball, literally there's not
a
time.
Lapse.
So use the word continue, okay? When
we'll continue.
Say that if a student tests positive at the end of the season, the suspension will continue into the beginning of the next curriculum activity.
So that would work for both if they were to wait to the, because they're not doing anything until the next football season, or if they're going into a winter sport, or if they're going into a spring sport. That's the intent, is to make sure that wherever they're doing
it. It just needs to change
the semantics. Okay, and so what I would recommend is we'll go up and we'll go through all of those and make sure that any of those that talk about that we'll say are then and then continue.
So the reality is that includes
next year.
And that will include, thank you.
You're welcome.
That will also include all practices. It's because it's not the first game, but it is the practice and everything else.
Right.
So then when you go down to 5.9C1, when you get there, the student will be suspended for 18 weeks from, then you have games, matches, and so forth. The word that should be there should be any games, matches, competitions, practices, or performance.
Yeah, 5.9.
Any game.
Yeah. Okay, tell me that number again. I was looking for
5.9C1.
5.9C1.
Okay.
So just
from
add the word
any.
I will
add any. From any games, matches, competitions, practices, or performances. That's good.
Right.
All right, and I will make sure on the two, I'll go through and make sure that would be consistent with what we've done on three. I'll go through.
5.9.C.3, probably we need to look a little bit at the wording for the same thing.
That's the one we put. We'll continue.
Yeah, we will go through and do all the continues and all the ones that are consistent.
Okay.
And then on 5.9.E, have we been consistent with the language of slashing sports slash activity? 5.9.E. Now I don't recall us ever using sports slash activity.
That is past the, you know, it's not part of the fourth offense. That is a separate statement all by itself that is saying that this is from year to year, carrying over from year to year.
And the problem is because of the highlighted fourth offense, it looks like it's part of fourth offense.
It's not.
But it's not. Marshall and I had a discussion of how do we make that look different, because it, especially when you've got it in all those colors. But so
it
you have 5.9D, that's the fourth offense. 5.9E is positive test results carry over year to year and sport or activity
in a participation.
Do you want me to put activity instead of the slash? Because we don't use slashes very often.
Why can't you do positive test results or offenses carry over year to year and take it out?
In a participant's
extracurricular career.
Because earlier we've defined extracurricular career as any of those activities. Okay, great. We'll take out and sport activity to sport activity.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I will strike those. Good catches, everybody.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to do?
With this policy tonight, we are recommending that this be the third and final.
Oh, I have one more question. Are we done? Okay, the other thing I had was the fee. No, is the fee?
Yes.
So give us the line on that.
That's back to 4.
I'm looking at the fee.
4.6 and 4.6A.
Is that consistent with other policies that we've set in there? The Board of Education may impose an activity fee to pay for the random drug assessments. Is that consistent with other districts' policies, or is that?
Some districts pay for it, and some districts do not.
I know about that, but is that included in policy.
It's included in the procedure. We did not have it in policy.
We chose.
That's why we put it up there as well, because we kept referring to it as a fee that the parents will pay for. And Marshall caught that. That
my
we
recommendation
put that
was
up
that it
there.
Put in there as part of policy.
Which number are you at? 4.6.
So that's why it was added.
It is
our procedure
in it,
referred to it and referred to it and referred to it. And Marshall caught that it's not in the policy that we may charge that.
Yeah.
Because everywhere else it says the assessment and the drug tests will be paid for, or you know, those, or that initial may have a fee.
So
that is consistent.
As a may.
Correct. And that was one of the concerns we had in our last discussion, is because going into this, many districts have had grants. When this was done by many of the districts back when the federal government had grants to pay for it, at least for the first couple of years, they did not charge a fee. And we are in a position right now, we want to look at what the RFPs will come back at, what that cost would be, what adding some of these other groups will entail, because it is different than in many of the districts that we're trying to compare ourselves to.
So would that fee be, so maybe...
So that fee would be something that we'd have to bring to the board, would have
yes,
to be put
I,
on
I understand
on that,
that
and
but
that
I
would
don't
be your
recall any other fees being listed in policy. For other fees that we assess are not.
No, this is unique.
Okay, that's
okay?
What I'm clarifying.
This is unique.
Okay,
we do have a policy on school fees, though.
Yes. Oh, yes, yeah. I know that. So, do we need to take out the word activity fee?
We don't have to put it in.
May
no, because it is an activity
fee.
Fee.
Yeah.
It is an activity fee.
But sporting. The cheerleaders will pay an active. I'm sorry, not cheerleaders. Student body officers pay activity fees.
No, they do not.
No, that's why.
An activity fee would be something that would have to be listed. We would have, if we chose to impose a fee for this, we would have to have it on the fee schedule on the activities fee schedule as a specific line item.
So my understanding is the purpose of this is that. We can either charge a fee, and if we do, of course, we'll have to list that. Or we can go for a grant, we can go for this, we can have a donation. This just opens the door to allow us to do it should
correct.
We need to. That's all.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I just was trying to clarify.
It is a little different.
I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you understand it, that means I understand.
Well, and I know that there's a lot of fees that we pay that aren't necessarily on the activity fee. I know there's an activity fee schedule, and there's a normal fee schedule for textbooks and your art class.
And that's what this would go, this was what that's what this would have to go on.
Yes, I know it would have to go on there, but yes, it's all good.
So are you just kind of asking if it should say activity or if it
should just say fee?
Fee.
I'm asking if it should just say. The Board of Education may impose a fee to pay for the random drug tests, drug assessments. Then it doesn't necessarily have to go under the activity portion of the fee schedule. But it doesn't matter.
A may. Nobody knows yet.
Nobody knows.
So do you feel like that needs to be changed for you to adopt
no.
it? Or?
No, it's fine. I love it.
So we just need to know what else you want redone from anyone. Lynn, is there anything you want done on it?
No, I like it.
Anyone else? Anything you want changed or added? Then I believe we would like a motion on this third reading.
The recommendation would be third and final reading with the changes that have been recommended.
Are we going to impose the implementation beginning when?
It says
at this approval. At this point, the process would have to, the next step is we have an RFP ready to go out. It really was, as Jeff and I were looking at it, until you had a policy in place, they couldn't respond on an RFP. Now that we have the RFP, they would know what we're talking about and what groups they would be able to get back. That will take us probably between 3 to 5 weeks. So you're talking the earliest this could be done in full implementation would be the fall. Now, one of the things that we would like to be able to do, and we will work with Mike Hansen as AD, is that some of the teaching opportunities happen this spring. That we, you know, we have Alan Grunig from Bear River Health Department has agreed to be able to work his schedule in so that we can start some of those presentations so that they can be ready for the fall activities.
And that it will be a part of the all the ninth grade orientation and everything.
Yes.
And starting with fall sports, right. That would be discussed. Right.
Prior to school starting. Yes, yeah. The fall activities. So for those, obviously we have cheerleaders being voted upon and put in, student body officers this spring. They would be under it right from the get-go, knowing that they would be one of the first groups to be trained in this, and it would be available. But the RFP process will take us a little bit of time.
Okay, I'll make a recommendation that we adopt the student drug alcohol policy on the third and final reading with the changes that we have stipulated.
I second the motion.
All right, it has been moved by Lynn and seconded by Connie that we adopt this draft with the changes made on the third and final reading. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I have a small question, and I don't mean to get us off track here, but it was something that was mentioned to me by a student at school when we talked about the policy, and it's like, well, how come they don't do random drug testing on the teachers? And I am not recommending that. Don't anybody print that in the paper. Don't you over there, you stick yourself with that needle. What would happen? I mean, that
technically, if we thought any teacher was under the
or
influence
any employee,
and if they are arrested for it, they have to report it. So
right.
There are ways that I think,
well, I
Margaret
understand.
Saw someone that she thought was under the influence of something, she would talk with administration and make sure something happened.
Well, see, and I understand that, and I think the question was simply that if we have to do it random and mandatory random, why not the board? I mean, I worry about some of us. Hmm. I'm sorry.
Well, if you want to talk about that, that's a possibility.
Anyhow, well, that'll come up at a workshop someday, I'm sure. Thank you.
All right. That's good to have that policy in place so that we can go for the RFP. And I'm hoping, I've had several coaches tell me that they really believe this will act as a deterrent for some of their kids who come from families where drug use is common, and it will help them to stay clean, and we like that. Our second item, action item, is action on the lease purchase of teacher computers for Logan High School 1-to-1. Our presenter is Superintendent Marshall Garrett and Dave Long.
We were, as you know, we were approved for the 1-to-1 grant with the Governor's Office of Economic Development. That process was about 3.5 months later than what they had promised us to begin with. One of the key components of this process is to start having computers in the hands of our teachers so that they can learn how to use them and how they can be more effective with the use of technology prior to the students receiving theirs. So what this is action on, and again it says lease and purchase. The process is as we're working with the company, there is a lease portion, but it will be paid for completely over once the funding comes from GOED. This is not yet in our hands. If we were to wait for that, we would be waiting until probably the summer or even August, July or August, and we want to get these in the hands of our teachers. So what we are proposing, we pay the first year's lease payment of $19,991.34 that will allow for us to then start the ordering of those and get them into our hands of our teachers here within the next couple of weeks. We will be spending a considerable amount of time with you on the one-to-one project in our April, I believe it's the 14th, work session. A couple members of the board went to a technology conference with Jeff and with Dave, and specifically looking at what's the best implementation for a one-to-one process. I know that at NSBA, we also went to many of those as well. So that will be a time when we're really getting down to some more of the details. So right now, what we're asking for tonight is just the approval of this initial lease payment so that we can get started with our ordering. Dave, anything else you need to add?
Just to help with your thinking about this as well, this is to get computers into the hands of our teachers right away so we can do the training we need to do between now and the end of the school year to help prepare them for the coming year and give them opportunity over the summer to do some more training and also have access to that device. These are devices that we're doing towards this project, but they are devices that we will need as replacement machines for teachers regardless in the coming year. So if this isn't done through the lease, if for some reason the lease doesn't work out, which is unlikely that could happen, this would still be a plan in the replacement model for teacher machines in the coming year anyways. But to get this going, the only way to do that in this fiscal year was to enter into the lease agreement so the cost was down enough on the lease figure to be able to afford that and start that process.
All right. We also have included a number of items for students. Those were informational items.
Right now, we wanted to show you the packages we have sent and worked with the company. So you have the master lease agreement, but also some of the having you prepared for our discussions in April with some of the other acceptable use agreements.
That's a requirement from Apple. In order to enter into the lease agreement with Apple,
we had to show that
to show that we had those documents and we had intent of either self-funding for insurance, that we met our requirements for entering into a lease on other parameters as well. So that's what all those other documents are in there.
This was the full packet that we had to send to Apple.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a motion?
Yes, you may.
I recommend that we sign a lease purchase agreement on 100 computers for LHS one-to-one initiative.
All right. Connie has made that motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right. It has been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. It's exciting. We're finally getting there. Yes.
Get the teachers and machines, and we'll get going.
Well, wonderful.
The teachers will be excited because that training is one of the things that makes them a little anxious. All of a sudden, everyone has it.
Wonderful. Yes, we appreciate the work you are doing with our staff. Okay, our next action item is action on the final 2015-2016 school calendar and tentative 2016-2017 school calendar. Marshall.
One of the reasons we are late this year with this is that we needed to know whether or not the legislature was going to change the law in regard to your ability to take up to four days of instructional time and use it for professional development. They did not make any changes to that law. So that because of that, you're doing a couple of things tonight. For the 15-16 school year, we have built in four of those days that are part of the 180, but that will be for teacher professional development and collaboration, working in PLCs. This board has been very good to provide our teachers with time, which is critical. When we lost our quality teaching days, and for us that was 6.5 days of time that we had up until 4 years ago, that has been a very difficult thing to overcome. Our teachers and everything that we're hitting them with, not having time to be able to have the professional development, the time to have the communication, has been critical. We have included those 4 days within this calendar that we are providing, as well as we have tentatively put it in for the following year's calendar. But again, we won't know until a year from now whether or not there's been any changes in the law. We would have to then make those alterations at that point. We do see that we are able to get out prior to Memorial Day. And again, one of the reasons why that has been a critical factor is that in our energy utilization, if you go into even one day into a month, that sets your rates for the entire month. By getting out in May, our rates, because our usage is low that first day of June, we are actually saving the district a lot of funding of money because of our rates for the entire month are then lower. As you look at here, one of the questions that had been that had arisen was in regard to our spring break. When we first started that process, and we tried to go back and look, and I didn't find the full written statement on this, but was as we went back and started talking to some people who had been on the committee as well, we had been trying to do that first week in April. Now, there was a question whether or not it was the first full week in April or whether it was the first week in April. If you can look on this year's calendar, this coming year's calendar, April 1st isn't the Friday of the week that we're out. So it's mainly, technically is the last week of March with a little bit of April in it. As we discussed as the committee, which is again comprised of teachers, administrators, and parents, and district office staff, the assessment time that is necessary for April and for May requires just some time for the students. And having that additional time in April before the testing starts, because I believe the testing window will start on the 18th of April, having those 2 weeks will allow for the teachers to be better prepared for those SAGE assessments. So that was their recommendation and the reason why we are going earlier this year. Next year, we won't have to worry about it. It will be actually the first full week in April, if you look at the 2016-17 school year. But for 15-16, it is the last week of March.
My question would just be, how does that line up with most of the rest of people in the state spring just because of school sports?
We have gone with what works with us,
yeah,
and not with most districts are still taking the Easter break wherever Easter comes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's moves around a lot. We've tried to keep within that last week of March, first week of April, the whole time.
Yeah. Do we
so
know
there
what?
Will be some, there will potentially be some conflicts, but usually the full session, the season, even preseason, isn't until that first full week in April.
Yeah, that would just be one question I would have with it. Is, you know, because you've got kids gone, and if you're trying to complete a region schedule, but I agree that that is early for that to start. So.
Yeah.
Do we know what the county, whether that coincides with the county or not?
The county took what we had, and they're doing exactly the same.
Okay, and that's, to me, that's the number one thing, because we have so many of our staff members have children in the county and vice versa, and we just like families to be together.
Yeah.
So
I think we just, if we look at what the county's doing and we're...
And they look what we do and...
They actually come to our meetings, which is great. Mike Lipke is comes to our meetings so that they kind of piggyback on what we recommend.
Okay.
All right. We need a motion. I'd like, actually, there's a recommendation that we would adopt
the 2015-16 school year calendar and then the tentative 2016-17 school calendar.
And that we keep those 4 days of professional development in.
Do you utilize 4 days of instructional life? So you're killing, with one motion, you can kill
Two birds, actually. Three birds, right. So is someone ready to make that motion?
Okay. I'd recommend that we utilize 4 days of instruction time for staff for professional development for the 2015-16 school year, and recommend we adopt the 2015-16 school calendar and the 2016-17 tentative school calendar.
I second the motion.
Okay, it has been moved by Lynn and seconded by Connie. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, it passes. It is now time for our reports. We did determine that our if board members will come prepared to our next to our work session, what I'd really like you to do is look through those of us who were able to go to National School Boards Association conference. If you will look through your information and be prepared to spend 5 minutes telling about the classes you attended and what impact you think they should have on our district and any changes you would recommend us thinking about or adopting. And so if you'll be prepared for that for our work session, our next work session, I don't know about the rest of you, mine is not organized well enough yet for us to have a discussion on that. So we will go to other reports from board members. Do you have anything, Lisa?
The only thing is the Edith Bowen Governing Board was changed. That should have been the end of this month to April 9th. So it's been postponed. I guess some people had some conflict on their end. So that's.
So you have not met?
We did not meet. We'll be meeting.
Wonderful. Christy.
Foundation Dancing with the Star was when we were gone, so we did not participate in that, which I felt bad about. But I hear it was a great success.
Great article
in the paper.
Thank you, Kelly.
About that and look forward to hopefully they'll continue on with doing that activity in the future. The golf fundraiser is in August, the same weekend of...
It's when?
It's our pre-delegate assembly day, which is another conflict on August the 14th. So if you can pencil that in, it'd be great if you can come and attend the golf tournament on the 14th if you're not going down to pre-delegate assembly.
Okay.
That's USBA. The only other thing I want to report was that I had an opportunity visiting a high school in Idaho in the past. I'm not sure. My brain's a little bit not thinking correctly, but I was just impressed about how wonderful our facilities are. You walk into a school that's not maintained by us, and it's just like night and day difference between our facilities and other facilities, and I just was very grateful and very appreciative of even just, they had a very, very old building, and even though it was very old, it just wasn't even maintained, and I just thought how nice it is that we have nice old buildings, but they're at least clean and maintained, so I just wanted to give a shout out to our people who keep our buildings in great repair and make them a positive learning environment for our students. That's all.
Thank you, Christy. Connie?
Well, after my random drug testing comments, I think I should keep myself short now. first of all, did not get to go to Nashville. I appreciate it. You know, Anne had promised me that she would send me the things, and thankfully I'll get to digest all of that also. I appreciate that. Dancing with the Stars, I didn't get to go to it, but I had it live streamed. You know, on my iPad, I got to watch it. I had it was fun. I had a friend, Wyatt Lusk, whose son is at Hillcrest, and so she had gone. And yeah, it was really fun to watch. This is a book that if anybody wants to borrow it, I think I've mentioned it before. It's called We Can't Teach What We Don't Know. It says White Teachers, Multiracial Schools. And it's really excellent. There's a whole section in the back, you know, for reflections of things. But if anybody would care to, you know, you want to borrow it and for anything to do with our
Master Board's word.
Yes, thank you. That board work. Also, I wanted to say I really appreciate, Superintendent, your following through on that with Ed Pulse, you know, that letter that you sent. Did you hear anything from, you know, the attorney had sent that letter?
The attorney has not gotten back with us since.
Wow.
Since,
but they're not getting back with him, yeah. So, anyhow, I am grateful to be on the board. And I'm so glad that she has a needle in her hand. Thank you.
Okay, Lynn.
2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be on the interviewing board for Fast Forward to hire a new principal that will take over next year. We had six candidates. Good. Really good candidates, and we had 2 days of interviews, and I hadn't heard anything, so I called Eric this afternoon, and they're going to make an announcement tomorrow.
Oh, good.
As to who the principal will be. It has been offered, but they give them till that date to accept or whatever, but he informed me that, in fact, that he will. I don't know. He didn't tell me yay or nay, so.
But tomorrow there will be an announcement.
What time? Do you know what time tomorrow?
No, he just told me, he says, I will get with you as soon as.
Okay.
So once I hear that, will let you know.
What is his name?
Kind of makes you wonder, don't it?
He doesn't know.
His or her.
Their name.
I'm just trying to catch off guard.
No, I'm not going to say no.
It'd be his or her.
Yes. Anything else, Lynn?
No.
I also had the opportunity to visit several schools out of state this last little while, and even brand new schools or only 5 or 10 years old, Mount Logan Middle School looks, you know, the flooring and everything else was similar flooring. I just thought, this is fascinating that this is a 10-year-old school that looks much older. And so I, too, am just very appreciative of the kind of schools we build and the grass we have, and except it's the front of Logan High right now, and just the maintenance on our buildings, that we keep up with it, that they're clean, and I think you don't realize what we have till you go elsewhere. I am on the Bridgeland Applied Technology Board, and we did our first evaluation under their new policy, and at the end of our evaluation, then it was announced that Richard Mann will be retiring. And so I will be part of a hiring process there. The board will be reviewing, doing paper screening, and then we will interview probably about the top six candidates. Then our top candidates will go to the UCAT board. So the BATC's recommendations will go to the UCAT board, and then the UCAT board will make that determination as to who was chosen. So we are having a lot of opportunities to be part of hiring processes. And Dr. Mann has done just amazing things, not only for Bridgeland Applied Technology College, but for all of the UCAT system. And many of the other campuses have commented that his ability to work with the legislature has been able to fund many of the buildings throughout the state. And I've just appreciated working with him. And that's all I have. Marshall. Oh, let's go to
Jeff first.
Jeff, do you have anything? Be prepared for a report as well next time we meet. All right.
All the money's.
Yes, yeah, so anything on the financials?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we sent those to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so everything looks good. You'll notice that revenues on capital projects fund is 222%. That's because they had. Zane had projected going out to bond and split those up, you know, and so he had $19 million, and so we went for the whole amount, and that was $42 million, and that's really the only thing.
And as long as it's always okay if your revenue exceeds what your budget was, but not your expenses, correct? You won't get a letter from the state on that one.
Right.
And that's nice.
It's the expenditure portion. You don't want that.
You know, we have some concerns. We did get the mid-year updates, and it looks like some of those are lower. So we made
tax-wise
there. You know, and so, but Marshall and I are looking into that. Once we get all the stuff from the legislature and everything put together, then we'll present that. So
we'll be presenting that to you in our April work session, so you can see where we are.
And just lay it all out. And so, anyway.
Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else? Marshall.
We will spend some time with you in April on the legislative session. It was an interesting one. They had more bills, education bills, than they had ever had in the history of the legislature, and this was the year they were supposed to not be on our backs. There were some very difficult situations that occurred. We are trying to work through those. I'll bring you what passed. There's a couple of bills that did pass that will mean some major changes in policy on our end, and we'll go through on that. Friday, Jeff and I will be receiving our initial fiscal year 16 money projections and what that will mean, so that will also be something that we'll talk to you in April as we are building the budget. And we're also taking that data to the IBB process starting on April 6th. So lots to do in the next little while, but in terms of transitions as well as just getting our budget ready, our focus, again, with our IBB, that we will be finished with negotiations the first week in May. That's our goal. And having it to the board for your final approval and the approval of all of the associations by the third week in May. So we'll have that out of the way. Then, obviously, we have the budget, final budget hearing that we have in June and our work session prior to that, so that there'll be a lot of budget stuff between now and June. And we think that is it right now, President.
All right. On calendar items, the most important calendar item is tomorrow morning is the Logan High School groundbreaking.
Correct.
We've received an email, but I don't have it in front of me.
8:45. If you be there a little bit early, it'll be right in front of the building. Because of the way the fencing is, they're looking at doing it on the west side of the office, kind of in front of where the library is, in that courtyard. That's where we will do the actual groundbreaking.
And please be dressed appropriate for whatever the weather is, so that, you know, because I believe we're going to put on some hard hats.
You're
going to
have your hard hat. If you have one, bring it. If you don't, they will be providing one for you tomorrow. It'll be an exciting time. We've got the choir will be singing. You're meeting in front of where the media center is, on the west, that west area where the grass is, just west of the main building.
And make sure you're available. And Jenny, we're on our very last item. We're fast today. Yes, but we didn't have any public comment and a few other things tonight. So 8:30 tomorrow morning.
Should only last about a half an hour at the most.
Yes, yeah, so be there early so we know you are there. We're excited. We'll be shoveling. We'll have others shoveling. And
we've invited members of the city council, the mayor, and the staff. Terrell, we would love for you to be able to be there with us as well. And it should be an exciting morning. We've asked the current student body office president, Logan Lamborn, to speak as well for a little bit. There'll be MH10 will be there, Hughes will be there. So it's an exciting day.
It will be a very exciting day. And then when we come back from spring break, there will be all kinds of changes over there. Also, tomorrow at 4 o'clock is the district spelling bee, and it is being held where?
Is it 6 o'clock or 4? I thought it was 6.
I may be wrong on my 4 o'clock.
I had it at 4 o'clock.
That was what I received.
That's what I got.
I can't remember. I don't have down where it is. So I will.
No,
It was the Little Theater.
That's where it usually has been, so I believe it is. So that is...
And I'll need to be excused because I'm on my way.
Yes, we will make sure you are excused. Anyone who can come, that will be very fun.
It's 6 or 4. Stacy, can...
What I received, the email I received, I copied it to my calendar, and it was at 4 o'clock.
That's what I had.
So...
I don't have it, so it's tomorrow, March 25th at 4 o'clock?
Yes. If it's different than that, we'll let you know.
At, in a little theater.
Mm-hmm. And then...
about it.
Also, on before we have our next board meeting, we have our USBA spring training. And that is... Okay, or do I... Yeah, our regional meeting is on Wednesday, April 8th, and that is at Elements again. And so make sure you have that on your calendar at 6 o'clock. And that's all I have.
No, it is at 6 o'clock tomorrow night.
It is 6
according
o'clock?
According to Deanna.
Okay, then. So it is 6 o'clock.
It is 6 o'clock in the Little Theater.
You know what? I have 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. down, so I have two of them. So, all right, so it is at 6, and it's at the Little Theater. Anyone who would like to come to that, that would be wonderful. And it's going to work much better for me at 4. And then...
Excuse me, what time is it tomorrow?
6 p.m. All right, and so we have spring break, and hopefully everyone will have a great time then. And so the first time we will be together as a group will be at that USBA regional training. And then on the 14th of April, we have an Adams school visit and then school board that afternoon. So
God, I hope I'm still alive.
It would be good. So we're excited, and mm-hmm. we are going to call this meeting at 6:30 p.m. We said we were going to have it be a fast one tonight. We did it. Well, when you don't have all the wrestlers or all of the Sterling Scholars show up, that does make it a lot shorter, too.